You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Leanne Morose. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, April 30th, 2018.
The amount that I've grown in his class, and just looking at my lyrics, I've written a couple songs while I've been in his class, seeing the way I look at the world and the way I create, and such a greater focus that I'm attuning myself into the beauty of things.
That's Casey Swark chatting with poet Ross Gay and Michael Glab about the confluence of poetry in her music. We'll hear their conversation later in the program on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra.
But first, your daily headlines.
An Ohio-based animal rights group is accusing the IU School of Medicine of neglecting its lab animals. The group has obtained reports sent from the school to the National Institute of Health detailing the abuses. WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester brings us this report.
The IU School of Medicine is being implicated in the death of at least 116 animals and the injury of dozens more. The animal rights group Stop Animal Exploitation Now, or SAEN, obtained 17 non-compliance reports sent from School of Medicine officials to the National Institute of Health's Office of Laboratory Animal Welfare. The reports range from April 2016 through October of 2017. According to the reports, the animals died due to starvation, dehydration, drowning, suffocation, and botched medical procedures. At least one of the research projects was suspended due to non-sterile surgeries and improper euthanasia. In a statement obtained by WFHB, the IU School of Medicine says that the university is currently in full compliance with national animal welfare guidelines and received clean reports in two recent reviews by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Institutional Animal Care and Use Committee, or the IACUC. In a letter to the Dean of the School of Medicine, SAEN alleges that this oversight is pointless, as the IACUC is composed primarily of IU employees. The group also argues that the animals discussed in the non-compliance reports, rats and mice, are not actively regulated by the Department of Agriculture, so USDA approval means very little. The IU statement goes on to point out that all of the incidents were self-reported, demonstrating the university's diligence in monitoring and taking corrective actions when necessary. Michael Budke is the executive director of SAEN. He says the university's actions are not an isolated incident and represent a pattern of neglect by researchers.
Internal reports and correspondence which we obtained discussed 116 animal deaths and abuse of many more animals. The animal deaths were caused by everything from starvation and or dehydration to drowning and suffocation. We believe that this is just a pattern of negligence and carelessness on the part of IUSM staff, and we want the administration to launch an investigation to discover the causes of all of these deaths and to terminate any staff that are directly responsible.
Budke and SAEN are also calling for an external independent investigation into the 17 cases.
I think it would be necessary for this to be an independent investigation to avoid the possibility of a whitewash. And I don't think this would be a law enforcement investigation as much as one potentially performed by experts in the field, people from the animal protection community, as well as potentially some people from the research community.
Budke says that SAEN would like to see the university move away from animal testing in laboratories. He says that 3D bioprinting and computer simulations would be preferable alternatives to traditional animal experimentation. For WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
About 20 people gathered across the street from the Monroe County Correctional Center on Sunday to show support for incarcerated mothers. Holding a sign that said, "We love all mothers," they waved up at several rows of windows in the facility across the street. Organizers anchored a balloon bouquet at the edge of the street. Each balloon carried a message, "Free our moms." One message said 80% of women in jails are moms. Bloomington resident Tanya Matthews has a daughter-in-law inside the county correctional center.
My granddaughter is in there, and her daughter is with her grandmother. So, you know, I have a personal interest in it because, you know, I know it's hard on them both, and I know that it's hard on my granddaughter. I mean, she loves her grandmother, and her grandmother does a wonderful job, but, you know, there's nothing like mom.
One in 28 children has an incarcerated parent. That's according to the National Resource Center on Children and Families of the Incarcerated. They cite another sobering fact. 58% of incarcerated mothers have no personal visits with their children while incarcerated. At the vigil, Darlene Garrison blew kisses up at the facility's windows from the curbside. She has staked a homemade sign to the ground that says, "Happy Mother's Day, Sadie," for her son and a daughter-in-law to see. They are both inside the correctional center.
I'm all the time bringing green balloons and hanging on the tree and making things. I want my son to know that I remember him and the ones that I do love that's in there.
Does Sadie, is that your soon-to-be daughter-in-law?
Yes, and she's a very good friend of mine.
Can she see you?
Absolutely. That's why I wanted to put it between the two trees, and she loves green balloons, so it's all from her and my son, from my heart. I've done it on many occasions just to be doing it, to let them know that somebody's on the outside to help them because there's nobody on the inside to do anything for them.
Experts say parental incarceration increases the risk of children living in poverty or experiencing household instability. That's separate from other known risk factors like parental substance abuse and inadequate education. And incarcerated parents lose their parental rights at a disproportionate rate because the Adoption and Safe Families Act, ASFA, sets strict timelines for terminating parental rights. These and other statistics have gotten the attention of Bloomington resident Megan Betts. She came out to the event with her husband and toddler daughter. Afterwards, she talked about why she brought her family to the vigil.
So I wanted to, as a mother, be modeling, you know, compassion and a sense of justice to my daughter. I wanted to make sure that our time reflecting on, like, being a family included, reflecting on people who don't get to have that, being in community with people is remembering that everyone is always human and always deserves, you know, the best of us and our time, you know, supporting them and advocating for them. So it's definitely wanting her to see that as a family activity as much as going to the park or whatever.
Middleway House and All Options Pregnancy Resource Center co-hosted the Mother's Day vigil. Middleway House Executive Director Deborah Morrow says regardless of their situation, incarcerated women love their children. And the vigil participants want the women to feel a moment of love too. The city of Bloomington is holding an arts festival this Saturday to celebrate art derived from African, African-American, and Hispanic cultures. The Bloomington Black E. Brown Arts Festival will be held from noon to 4 p.m. at the Banneker Community Center. The festival's headliners include artist Morgan Anderson, body artist Contrill Booker, and spoken word artist A. Bowden, among many others. Mayor John Hamilton stated, quote, "This festival will give us a chance to showcase the diversity of cultural traditions in our city and the role that our communities of color play in our identity," unquote. The event is a collaboration between the City of Bloomington's Black History Month Committee, the Commission on Hispanic and Latino Affairs, and the city's Department of Economic and Sustainable Development. For more information and the complete lineup of artists, visit bloomington.in.gov. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Benedict Jones.
And I'm Leanne Moroz. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar-powered generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com. Ross Gay, the award-winning, best-selling poet, is the teacher. Casey Swark, who relied on music to help get her through debilitating illness, is the student. Gay teaches creative writing in the Indiana University English Department. Swark signed up for his course and found his unconventional teaching methods an unexpected help in making music. She had not thought much about words through the years as she honed her musical abilities, but with Ross Gay encouraging her to draw pictures as a way to see things with a new eye, the ability for Casey to pull lyrics out of her imagination grew dramatically. The two joined Michael Glab on last week's Big Talk. They continued the conversation on this week's Big Talk Extra.
Ross, you teach poetry. Pardon me, but how do you teach poetry?
I don't know. I've been asking myself that same question. Casey's in my class, so she knows that a few times, you know, periodically I'll be like, so this is an experiment. You all know that. And they're kind enough to indulge the experiment. I don't know. I feel like there's two things that I am trying to understand how to share, how to communicate, how to cultivate. And that's the imagination and that's community.
Do students fail?
What do you mean by fail?
Can you be a bad poet?
I write mostly poems that I don't like, but I work on them and I fiddle with them and I push on them and I transform them so that once they finally become poems that I do like, they usually go from poems that would not be particularly good into something that I'm interested in. So, but the idea of like failure, you know, I have a different kind of relationship to that, because another thing that, you know, that since you asked, that another thing that I'm realizing that I'm hoping my classes become spaces where practice becomes really valued, practice and something like sketching. So everything you're doing is like a sketch for something, you know, which is to say that probably nothing is a failure. Mm. Probably nothing's a failure. Probably everything is a step toward the thing that you'll make eventually, you know, the beautiful thing you'll make eventually.
Myself as a writer, the biggest challenge is to get rid of that
totally
person in your head that says, no, that sucks.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. 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 That's the thing. I mean, if a writer or an artist or a maker or a person loosens up, it seems, their relationship to needing to make a kind of perfect thing, but instead imagines the thing that they're making to be the thing that needs to be made, you know, it seems like you don't get stuck as much.
Casey, you take class with Ross. Is this going to help you in your writing of lyrics?
I met with Ross at the very beginning of the year, and it had come up that I was had a great focus in lyricism, but I had never taken a poetry class. I don't read poems. I'm very new into this whole writing thing.
Huh.
And so when we were talking, I had asked him, is like, okay, should I, you know, craft what we're learning or change the projects so they suit what my quote-unquote niche is? And he was like, no, like, because whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to create in my class is going to end up helping that. But it's going to be good to, like, kind of focus outward on
right.
the kind of, like, something that you suck at. Like, I can't draw for the life of me. And he had us, like, lay outside and sketch a tree. And allowing that journal to, like, suck and, like, if you look back at it and you're like, is that a tree or is that like a boat?
Mm.
And being okay with that, and the amount that I've grown in his class, and just looking at my lyrics, I've written a couple songs while I've been in his class, just on my own time, and seeing how the way I look at the world and the way I create, and such a greater focus that I'm attuning myself into the beauty of things.
Mm.
It's been so inspiring to see a poet who's, at least in my mind, happy. And colorful.
Mm.
And he never comes into class wearing black.
Mm.
And, like, I mean, granted, like, it's fine if you wear black, like, whatever. And it's fine if you're not happy.
There's no stereotype, I'll tell you that.
No, but it's not like he avoids subjects that are sad, that are violent, like, exactly what you're saying. But it's been so eye-opening to me because so much of my writing and so much of my rumination on art is about things that I do not understand and things that have happened to me or things that have happened to other people that I dearly love. And there's such a natural way to lean into that and to not push yourself to put color on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that I've really like opened my eyes for.
Now, I suggest, Ross, that we listen to a little music. What do you say?
Great idea.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Shoot.
Okay. The song is called Come Home.
Go ahead.
And I don't know where you're going. And I don't know where you've been. But please won't you tell me, oh, if I'll see you again. If I'll see you again. I find that my soul cries, but all the rubble just stays inside. And all the memories, the melodies, just trying to stay alive. Kicked back by a heartbeat that won't speak, but trying to make a sound with white walls and a hospital gown. Oh, the whisper of your touch has never slipped away. Oh, the passing of a lover who's forgotten how to love. Who's forgotten how to love. I'm here, are you really there? 'Cause there's a part of me that's oh so scared. I'm counting up the sleepless nights, covers for disguise, wishing you'd be somewhere over my fear. Come home, come home. Come home, my friend. Come home, come home, come
Ross Gay, the poet, Casey Swirk, the musician. Thanks for joining us on Big Talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That was local musician Casey Swirk. She and poet Ross Gay discussed the process of writing lyrics and poetry on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra with Michael Glapp. Tune in Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. for an all-new episode of Big Talk. Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Woodbuilders. Lauren Woodbuilders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Thank you. Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
I am Lilian Casillas, and I volunteer with El Centro Comunal Latino. I think one of the things that first got me involved was that there was a growing community of Latino immigrants in Bloomington. And I was, and some other colleagues, some other friends, we were noticing that there was really no place for the immigrant community to reach out to. Even though there's a Latino culture center at the university, that was something that they felt that it was not for them, you know? So that's where the idea of El Centro came about. And that's really what has kept me because, you know, the community has grown. There are, you know, constant changes to their needs. And also on a personal level, as being a Latina, being an immigrant, I also can understand some of the challenges that one faces coming to a new community in general, but then when you're also coming from another country, there's a lot of cultural adjustment that needs to happen, and it's nice when you have somebody, you know, walk you through it. I feel like I'm paying it forward, you know, being an immigrant, why did I have it easier? You know, what is it that maybe for me, you know, whether I had papers to come here or whether because of whatever, I feel that there are privileges that I've had that I want to be able to use those to help others who maybe, again, have faced some issues or are just trying to acclimate. What's kept me is that I think in general, Bloomington has been very, very welcoming. But there's also been some climate, and not necessarily locally, but more on a national level, that sometimes can give somebody the idea that you're not welcome. It reinforced my commitment to stay. You know, we haven't reached a moment where we can say, okay, you know, I'm not needed. Where maybe it's made a difference in others is that people have found that there are people who are welcoming, and not just me as a Latina, but when you make introductions to other people that are not Latinos, for them to see that there is a community beyond, you know, just El Centro or the people. On a personal level, to be honest, I also crave to be surrounded by Latinos. Many of the families invite me to family events, and it helps me to connect, and it also gives me something. So it's not just me giving to others, but also there's a lot of reciprocation. And you want to make sure you let them know that you're not there to be someone, oh, you know, poor people, I'm here to help you and save the day. But I think a lot of it is you want to make sure that you're empowering them and you're giving the voice so that they themselves can, in the future, you know, fend for themselves. I remember the first time I acted as an interpreter for a woman having a baby. I have never had that experience. I remember being in the room and the chaos and not knowing what to do and trying to, you know, stay calm. But the whole time it's just kind of like the woman, you know, squeezing your hand to death. It was just kind of that whole experience of afterwards the joy of seeing a new baby and the woman, you know, and knowing that somebody was there. Right now, I work especially a lot with a mentoring program, and I partner high school students with college students, especially high school students who are at risk, who are having a hard time adjusting, or having a hard time with their academics, and then you see them go to college. It feels good. Now I see, for example, some of the families, especially the ones that have been here, you know, forever, you know, 15, 20 years, whatever, because El Centro has been around since 1999, and you see them where they themselves are now helping other family members. You know, you see it when they themselves are establishing businesses or they are taking leadership roles in the community. I think that was the goal of El Centro, not just, again, to be someone who comes in and saves the day, but someone who then sees folks doing all of that, you know, kids going to college, you know, students volunteering, folks, you know, dancing in dance groups. So I think that is something that I know that we've reached a point where they're part of the fabric of the community. Thanks for listening. I am Lilian Casillas, and I volunteer with El Centro Comunal Latino.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Jonah Chester in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdane, Scott Schmadke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Leanne Murrows.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at wfhb.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system, coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a daily local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.
Places. And it takes work, hard work, to stay here.